Oh my gosh, we're here. I'm here. The internet is working so far. We have a guest tonight. She'll be on momentarily, Lisa Wilcox, who's actually from Missouri, where I'm hiding out, and I have questions.
Lots of questions. Mm.
So like, how does one get started in the industry after growing up in Missouri?
Like, I just want to know how long she lived in Missouri. That's all. Like, because I feel like it's a suckhole. Not in a bad way. You know.
It's like wholesome and, you know, quiet, peaceful.
Yeah, like, I don't want to go home.
You're never in a hurry in Missouri, according to Jeff.
That's what I say. That's what I say. Kids, what has been going on? Like, I got to tell you, I'm doing a whole lot of nothing. Boating, swimming, golf carting, nice. Looking at deer, which is like my kids think like, oh, look at the deer. And I'm like, we have deer that just are on the street in our neighborhood at home. This ain't new. But you
They're just Bambi's mom at home.
We got those frogs pooping all over the deck. It's craziness.
What kind of frogs?
And my aunt was like saying tonight, she meant it, that it took for years they thought they had a rat problem. No, it was frog poop.
No way.
I figured it out. I'm telling you. Look at I'm like Miss Cleo. I'm gonna get to the bottom of it.
I mean, we really are in the middle of nowhere though. Like the closest store is like what, 25 minutes away?
Oh geez, that's incredible. There's some cool things in Missouri though. I met George Clooney. In Missouri? I did. I was at the Ameristar Casino, and we did...
I love that casino.
Yeah, and he was there, and he bought me and my friends, like, multiple rounds of cocaine shots, and, yeah.
Girl, I was like, he sounds like a lot of fun.
Oh, dang.
I'm just going to start calling you Judy Garland. Meet me in St. Louis.
Train
with the trolley. I'm gonna have to pay right here for that. Girl.
Oh boy.
Well, you know, I had spent time in Branson, but I didn't go on the duck boats. I didn't do it because I knew it wasn't gonna be good. They're out of business. I'm like, that just don't seem safe. It drives and goes in the water. Not for me.
Yeah, no. I don't trust those at all.
It's a hard pass. Hard pass. I can't. Uh-oh. And then we got James out here trying to drive a golf cart. The kids are terrified to ride with him. They're like, no, Daddy. We don't want to go on a bumpy road. James almost threw us out. He took out the carport. I'm like, oh my God, you can't let this fool drive the golf cart.
But yet,
you trust me to drive the car from there to Kansas City.
Not really. Honestly, no. Every time I look, I'm like, where's the new mark on it? Because the first couple of weeks, he curved the car and like smashed the whole underside on the passenger side.
Okay, that was one time. And it was because, and I told you about it like right afterwards.
One time. I'm just saying.
I've only ever done one thing to it.
Little things happen once in a while. My husband got a little angry with me because I perhaps nicked the rim on the new Jag. It wasn't like that big.
Ooh, girl, I don't know. I wouldn't have been real happy about that Jag.
It was literally that big. You couldn't even see it. Like, he had to get up on it.
He must have saw it. Cause
he inspected it because he knew I drove it. But you know what? Would you rather me park close to the curb and make sure nobody hits the brand new Jag? Or you want me to park in the middle of the street? Choice is yours, sir.
How about like a half foot away from the curb and not in the middle of the street? Is that an option?
Listen. Look, he should not complain. It came back in one piece.
Yes. No, girl. No. Oh, so last weekend I went to this auction.
I love auctions.
Yeah, I thought I would too at this house, right? And it was this old lady's. And they had like trailers of all of her crap like out in the yard. She obviously dead. And I'm like, where? I'm looking at my aunt. It's a tiny house. It's cut up horribly. And it smells like old lady. And I'm like, where the hell did she put all this shit? And who was she having over that she needed 45,000 plates?
I have so many questions about old ladies' houses. I love going to auctions and estate sales where the little ladies die. You get some good shit.
They had jewelry. Well, here's the thing. The house, I'm telling you, 20 grand all day. They got $62,000 for this thing. I was like, who? And they're right. And then there was like a big lot behind it, and they ended up splitting the lot up. So somebody got the lot behind, which for 35, I'm like,
what is going on?
I don't know what's in the water out here, but they're $62,000? Absolutely not. I mean, the whole thing needed to be gutted. It just looked like old lady and hadn't been touched in like 50 years. I'm like, no, sir. No. And then her dining room table, it was like made for little people. I'm not lying.
Well, maybe she was a little person.
Well, you could tell by the clothes that were in the closet that, you know, she had all the brooches on still. I was like, that's rude. Like, you didn't take that woman's brooches off her little, like, Sunday outfits and things.
I love like, old lady brooches. Those are the best. I actually collect vintage brooches.
Yeah,
and I'm not ashamed.
Brooches, I don't have a problem with. But so the only thing she had that I even, like, looked twice at was she had, like, this old school dollhouse kit.
Oh, God.
That my friend and I used to make them when we were younger. That it was still in the box, and I pulled out the picture. I was like, oh, I had that one. I made that one. He made this one. We made that one. And she had a box full of the furniture. I was like, oh, that's cool. I was like, too bad my hands don't work and I'm old, so I can't do it. But there's it. The rest of it was junk.
I've gotten some pretty cool stuff at one estate sale. I went, old lady died. Her house smells like white diamonds and mothballs, but
listen. Listen, these have always brought me luck. Love white diamonds. I would do that to my girlfriend.
So I went and I bought this basket of jewelry for $20, and there was like all this weird crap in it. And I get to this huge turquoise necklace, and I bring it out, and my friend's like, "Oh, I think it's real." I'm like, "Whatever." She takes it to her cousin and gets it appraised. It's real turquoise, and the necklace was valued at like $3,000.
Oh, all right, wow. For that.
Damn.
Yes. So hey. I've gotten like marble tables and stuff. Yeah. My husband likes to say I like old stuff, but it's vintage.
I like to take that vintage crap and make it new.
So I feel like I should have been on the show Dynasty. Like, I'm just like, yeah.
Well, you know, girl, Miss Lisa, she was on Knott's Landing. Which is like close enough.
Yeah, it's pretty close to Dynasty. I'm loving it. I'm digging it.
Dynasty Dallas. Time. I'm like those.
Shoulder pads and poofy hair.
Yes. I used to stay up with my mother and watch them.
Yeah.
So when they redid Dallas, girl, on TBS, every, what was it, Wednesday or whatever it was, whatever night it was, we had a date where we did dinner and we watched Dallas together. You know, and then poor JR, you know, he died. But it was so good. And then they canceled it. It was ended on another cliffhanger. I was like, of course they did. Damn you, TBS. I'm still angry and bitter. But they got that new remake of Dynasty. I watch it. I'm not going to lie to you. I love me some Grant show.
But you know what? I have an issue with new shows. I like the old shows. So I will go back and watch.
They were much more grandeur. They had bigger sets. They had... It was just so exciting. Yeah, like the new Dynasty, they've had 3 crystals in 3 years. They just keep firing the chick.
Yeah,
something is wrong there.
Yeah, they just keep firing her.
I'm kind of bad because there's one show that I watched that a lot of people probably will give me shit for. But yes, I watched The Cosby Show. The old, yeah, I'm sorry.
Oh, problematic.
Listen, this was before Huxtables. I'm sorry. I watched the Huxtables. They're like my second family. Like, I just knew I was in there causing a ruckus with the rest of them. And I don't care what anyone says. I watch it on Amazon Prime right now. I'm sorry. I like the Huxtables, and I'm not going to stop watching it just because he drugged people. That was before he turned evil.
Well, the other people got to pay their bills. They need the residuals. You know what I'm saying? Like, why they
exactly. Little Rudy got babies
Oh,
now.
My gosh.
Right,
babies to feed. So
you like the? I did the Hogan Family, which Lisa was on as well.
I watched the Hogan Family.
It had Valerie Harper on it. It was like her comeback to TV in the '80s. Jason Bateman was on it.
I don't think I watched it.
What's the one girl from Melrose Place that I love? Josie Bisset. She was on our show, and I was like grilling her about the Hogan family.
Okay, because you never watched that.
So listen, the Hogan family started out as Valerie's family. Mm-hmm. Valerie Harper got into it with the studio, and they fired the star of the show. So the second season, she like died in a car crash, and then the house burned down. House caught on fire, so that they could get rid of all the pictures of her. And Sandy Duncan came in to replace her, and they had like Valerie's family, the Hogans or whatever, the second season or whatever it was, the third season, and then they dropped it to just the Hogans. But yeah, girl, they sure did. I love it. Valerie, I'm like, that's how I knew I was gay, because I picked a show where they fight the star. I'm like, oh, like I loved hearing about it. Anytime she didn't, she's like, I just wanted my money, like. She was going to get it, too.
That's extreme, though. That's overkill. Like, a car crash and a house fire.
Yeah. Like, oh, yeah. Well, they were letting her know.
Overkill. She is not coming back.
And they never talked about her after those, like, 2-3 episodes. They never talked about their mama dying.
Oh, how horrible. The little bastards. They didn't even reminisce.
And it was, like, one of those 80s shows. You remember the big lady, she's redhead, she played Mrs. Poole, the neighbor. She was on a bunch of shit. She had like the accent from like North Dakota or whatever. What show was she on? The little redheaded girl that was in everything.
Hey guys, sorry I'm interrupting. So Lisa's here, so let's add her in and we'll get going. I'm so sorry, we had a little bit of fun, didn't we, Lisa, setting up.
Now I have to try to get back to you.
There you are.
Why does it look like my head's cut off? This is really weird. I've never done this steamyard.com thing. I've always done Zoom or Skype.
Oh, yeah. I call it steamroller.
I see two of me.
Steamroller. So weird.
You look
fancy. We can see you.
Hello.
How are you, Lisa?
Hot.
Hot. You look hot tonight.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Are you in LA?
Oh.
I mean, I'm in air conditioning at the moment, but I've been out today. My car, my Jeep got hit, and oh my God. So I'm still like,
oh gosh. And you still made it to this. Yeah.
Right. Actually, ice water. Here we go. Okay. How are you all today, tonight, this evening?
We're wonderful. So we're in all different time zones here. So I'm in Queensland, Australia. Freddy Krueger here is in New South Wales, Australia. And then all these guys up here are, where are you guys right now? You're still in Missouri. They're New Yorkers, but they've just done like a Missouri hideout from COVID for a little while. Yeah. And then Angel, you're New York as well, aren't you?
Yep. Okay. All right. Cool. Hold on. I want to see if I can pump up the volume here, because I can hear you. Here we go. There, better.
There we go.
All right.
So sorry about the technical difficulties. Yeah. Steve, look, you're dressed as Freddy. I think you should start the ball rolling.
I was like, Lisa has done conventions for a while, so I had to make her feel at home, you know. I'm sure you see Steven. You see 7,000 of me every time. I'm going to fangirl out a bit because Alice Johnson is like one of my go-to girls for horror. Big, big, big fan. So we understand you've been doing a little bit of COVID preparedness with the Elm Street family. With your Stop the Nightmare 2020.
What does Freddy Krueger do during COVID?
What do I do? We're in Australia. We're pretty much back to normal.
First of all, Freddie wears a mask, right?
True.
Yes, yes he does.
It's a really just my ugly face. One, but it is a mask of sorts.
Yeah, so he's a COVID-safe serial killer.
Yeah.
That's what we need in the world, right?
That's right.
The COVID ain't going to kill you. Just be Freddy.
Right on. Oh, dang,
but actually, we have the
really cute Freddy mask things because I did this PSA, a public service announcement with a bunch of the cast. but it's in my car because I just transferred everything from my rental car into my Jeep, and it's in the Jeep. So anyway, darn it, but they're really cute. Anyway, we'll talk about the PSA later, right?
Well, we got Stop the Nightmare, the little promo. We actually, we have it. Like, we can play it now. Like, obviously, you've seen it because you're in it. But yeah, I thought it was really clever.
Let's sing along.
Yeah, I can give it a go.
Stay home.
Save lives.
Okay, thank you for playing that.
That's brilliant. Awesome.
Yeah, that was really clever. How did that come about?
Well, in the beginning of COVID, like March, middle of March or whatever, there were so many things coming out on YouTube that comedians were doing and actors and musicians. Oh my gosh. Did you see the one My Sharona but done My Corona?
Yes.
Yes.
So funny one. Because we were all trying to like, all right, let's chill, let's try to keep a sense of humor, you know, and all that. So I was like, I really want to do something. There's just got to be something with Nightmare on Elm Street that we have to do. And then it went, duh, Stop the Nightmare. Okay. So it was like midnight, and I just rewrote the lyrics to fit the COVID thing. And then I talked to my buddies and stuff, and they're like, oh, we're on board. And I mean, not everyone could do it, but so many casts, but it was, I think about five. We had Mexico, California, Nevada, Chicago. Like, those are friends of mine in Chicago that had the little girls in the suburb and their moms and stuff like that. And notice
Everything
was done with social distancing and masks.
But it jump was ropes are good for that.
Pardon?
Jump ropes are good for that. The social distancing. That? Jump ropes, you know? Skipping ropes.
Oh, yeah. In the suburbs of Chicago. Perfect. Many children and anyway, it was just a lot of support where everyone was like, oh yeah, this is great. And it is hashtag, or you can go to the website to Stop the Nightmare 2020.com. And funds that were generated with merchandise that we're selling is going to help artists. Okay, so because obviously artists and many, many other kinds of occupations are being affected very much. So anyway, so there you go.
No worries. That's so cool.
And I had a lot of support.
Everybody kind of in there. Like, have you met them all, like, after, you know, throughout the years doing conventions?
Oh, yeah. Well, especially Nightmare Forecast, we're super tight. I mean, we are seriously family. I mean, if they needed a kidney, I would donate it. But actually, I probably don't want my kidney by now. But anyway, and then Ira and Rodney, Ken lives on the, I think he lives in Atlanta. But we have all stayed in touch. And yeah, we're all great friends. Heather and I are great friends. And we have met, through the conventions. And just, they're like, you know, my family.
Well, I think it's interesting you say, like, you guys are like family. Because, you know, when I literally rewatched part 4 last night. I haven't seen it for years, but I had the set on Blu-ray. I'm like, I have to watch 4 and 5. I got to do it. Forgot you coming on. And 4 was so interesting because, like, the kids all felt Like, they were, like, it was an authentic kind of cast. And you guys sort of, I was, like, saying it's sort of like the Breakfast Club versus Freddy, you know, with all the best parts of the 80s thrown. And you got some Karate Kid. You got a bit of Ripley from Aliens. Like, it was amazing. And I thought they did it so well. Yeah. It was, like, the biggest 80s nostalgia trip you can ever have is if you watch Nightmare on Elm Street 4. Definitely.
Well, you know, I'm so glad you pick up on that because Annette Benson, who is the casting director for all the Nightmare on Elm Streets, I say to her, you know, like she cast friends for life. I mean, she really did. Like our chemistry and our, especially with Nightmare 4, just like we've just still stayed together. And then Amanda and Heather and, you know, we're just, and Robert, we call him Uncle Robert. Okay. So we really have a genuine care and love for each other and respect. And we have a blast at the conventions. Woo, do we party. Woo.
I bet. How is that going now with COVID though? Cause everything's shut down, right? Convention wise.
Yeah. The whole year has been wiped clean. I had about 6 films this year, and I recently moved to Nevada, and actually from Los Angeles, and I feel like I did it just in time, quite frankly.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's been really hard. I mean, I miss my family. I miss my friends. I mean, for 20 years, I kind of figured it out. About 20 years, I have been doing conventions, so like 6-7 months out of the year, I'm like traveling and we're, you know, all over the world, you know, and oh my God. And I know we're all feeling that. Can't see our friends and family. Can't even get on a plane. Or if you do, you're terrified, you know. I am going to be going to Chicago to do, I'm doing a few signings like in small venues. Like I'm going to do one in Nightmare Toys in Las Vegas. And Kane Hodder, Daniel Harris, and Cameron Glenn were there. And it was amazing.
Yeah.
It was beautiful. They had double width tables, right, to keep the 6 feet. The selfie was done with the fan at the edge of the table and the celebrity going here in the background.
Hello.
They had a tent in the back parking lot and a food truck and water to limit how many people were allowed in the store, and it ran beautifully. It really did. And of course everyone was wearing masks and that kind of thing. And then I did one at Tom Devlin's Monster Museum in Boulder City. And then in Chicago, I'm going to do one at a fabulous poster shop. So we're trying. Drive-in theaters is another option. There have been a few actors that have, you know, screening new movies, like Felissa Rose and whatnot. Bruce Campbell went on a trek. So I have my booking agent working on doing drive-in theaters. Why not? Right?
Hey, you know what? I got one up by us, honey. I'll hook you up. We'll get a whole bunch of them. Fly them out. I used to do them all over with Karen from the Power Rangers, and they are a riot.
Oh, my God. Are you in New York?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. I'm going to pick up the phone for the ones here in Nevada or whatever, but wouldn't it be fun just to do a tour? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And, in fact, absolutely. I love that drive-ins have come back. If you've never been to a drive-in movie,
you're missing out
not
on
not since the 80s. Actually, no, there was one it. I went to. I went to one in Brisbane when I was living in Brisbane, and they still have one there. And I remember we went, but it was like a booze up outing, except for the poor driver. So I don't even know what we watched.
What they always were, it was either you're drinking your booze or people were smoking. I'm not saying what they were smoking, but they were smoking. to each their own. But there's like
drive ins because on a date. You get to make out in a car, you know? It's not hard to make out in a movie theater, but in a car?
The coolest thing ever was, like, this summer, the drive-in that's, like, 10 minutes from me has played all these old movies that, like,
revival.
My kids have never seen. Like, we had E.T., we did Dirty Dancing. There were so many, you know? So it was like, I've never seen this at a drive-in. Let me go check that out. It's so much fun.
And they're so busy right now, too. I know the drive-in near me, you have, like, you just can't show up and expect to park and enjoy the movie. So
really?
They're super busy right
packed?
Now. Yeah. It's the big thing right now.
Fantastic to hear. Okay. We got it. We're going to plan this drive-in thing. All right. Let's do it. Okay.
Yes.
Who wouldn't want to do a double
nightmare drive?
A
nightmare driving matinee.
What I want to do is rent an RV. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, you are my soulmate.
Sleep in the RV, right? And just go from drive-in to drive-in. I love road trips.
Mm-hmm. Me, that's look. We did comedy, and we had a new like whole comedy show run going right when COVID hit. They're devastated. Oh. Now you can't do them anywhere in New York. You can't do live music unless it's at a drive-in. You can't do stand-up unless it's at a drive-in. Mm-hmm. You can't do it at any other venues. So it's the way to go. We're going to talk after the show. We're going to set this up. I'll make it happen.
All right.
I'm entrepreneur.
We're going to be in touch.
Yes. Yes. And you know, okay. So while we're on like conventions, but I'm like, how many people come up to you? Like, you have been in so many, many, many things. Like, right before you came out, we were kind of going over the list, and I'm just like, all these shows, Knots Landing, The Hogan Family, which, girl, the scandal on that thing, Boy Meets World, Pacific Blue, Walk the Texas Ranger, Chicago Hope. One of my favorites was Big Shots. I was so mad when it got canceled. And then you got to play Mrs. Brady. Like, you've done so many things on top of Nightmare.
Well, thank you for pointing that out. I appreciate that because people always think, oh, she's a scream queen. I'm like, I ain't no scream queen. First of all, I live, okay? And I did very well screaming. I did more kicking ass.
Right, like you're the only one that did two and didn't die.
My work is episodic, comedy, sitcoms, soap operas, TV movies, and other films too. And Star Trek, Star Trek Next Generation.
Oh, wow.
Now Star Trek Next Generation, that character Utah, what's unusual, poor Jonathan. He's so cute. Oh, those blue eyes.
He's delicious.
He was my favorite on that show. I had the biggest crush on him.
Wendy. Are you kidding? And I was married, and he was married, but I was like, oh, he's so handsome. Oh, and so he's super tall.
Lisa, you got to say, even in a nightmare, like Danny, like the guy who played your love interest.
Oh.
Like, you've got some hot guys.
Danny, I'm telling you. Yes, I've had the pleasure. And got to work with Mark Hamill. Are you kidding?
Luke? Yeah,
you
know.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I'm a huge Star Wars fan. And when I got that role and the first day of filming, I was like, I was so nervous. I'm like, oh my God. Okay, Lisa, just calm. Chill out, you know, because working with Mark Hamill, he's a legend, you know what I mean? So, I've had some amazing, fortunate, fun experiences and all the acting. And it's funny, I'm up for this movie, and they're like, well, you have to play this like classy, sweet mom. But she's lost her job as a secretary at the corporate world, and she's got to support her son, who's in college. So she turns to doing not tricks, but porn talk. Okay. Can you believe that? And I was like,
naughty talk.
I've played from nuns to moms to prostitutes. This girl was perfect for me. Anyway,
I feel like that's
crossed.
A very well-rounded career. Like, you know, I would like be happy just to play a dead body.
What do I play a dead body?
Yeah, that's. I'd be happy if I just, you know what I mean? Like doing the dead body. Like I'm good. Like you got to play a prostitute. It's everywhere.
I got to play. I want to tell you a little story. I had the pleasure of working with Kathy Bates.
Oh, really?
Oh, my gosh.
Give me the scoop.
She did what ended up called Harry's Law for a couple
years,
right?
Yes.
Well, before that, I don't recall the pilot title. So I was in the pilot, which is, you guys know what a pilot, you know, David E. Kelly, okay, who did Chicago Hope. And back in the day, Michelle Pfeiffer, his wife, we kind of looked alike, but he's hired me several times. Anyway, my story is that in the pilot, I am the preacher's wife that's having an affair.
Ooh.
And I end up murdered in the back of a car and my throat is slit. So I got to have these fabulous prosthetics done, you know, with the blood dripping and all this kind of thing. And anyway, Kathy and I worked together like all week and stuff. And she kept going, Lisa, I can't look at you. You look dead. And it was like white face with the blood and all that. And then we shared ghost stories. And anyway, she's just the coolest dame. So anyway, hi, Kathy.
She's fried green tomatoes.
Oh, yeah.
When she crashes into that bug, I'm like, there's no other.
There's no other, right? And mm-hmm. the horror, the Stephen King, wasn't it Stephen King?
Misery.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I'm huge. Are you guys Stephen King fans?
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Oh, I love him like crazy. And also Dean Koontz. Love him.
Yes.
That was the Mark Hamill movie because we did Watchers. Watchers 4. But that one was the closest related to the book. And the funny thing, I was literally on set of Nightmare 4, and Howard Berger, who did the fabulous Freddy makeup, he said, oh, you like Stephen King, you should read Watchers, Dean Koontz. And I'm like, okay. And I was reading that book on set of Nightmare 4, and then years later, I got to do Watchers 4 with Mark Hamill. Oh, anyway, it's a whole wild, crazy universe, isn't it?
It is, but it's amazing. Like, you've just done so much. That's what we were like when we were going through the list. Because, everyone's always sort of, they'll always go back to Alice.
Thank you.
But
I took a very long break. I had gotten married and I wanted to have a family. And I really, once the kids were in school, I really wanted to be like involved in their lives at school and room mom and do all that stuff. So, and my, he's now my ex-husband, but he was a writer, producer and whatever. So fortunately, I got to be like a stay-at-home mom, which was pretty awesome. So, and then it's recently-ish that I've gotten back into it.
You're working now, aren't you?
Yes, I just finished it's going to be a Lifetime movie and Netflix. And it's called Killer Escort. And I
am this is your hooker.
And one of my boys is being very, very bad. So,
ooh.
Anyway. Oh my God, I love it.
Yeah. Michael Madsen is also in it. Look him up. He's been in like every Quentin Tarantino movie, and he's done like 150 movies or something, Michael Madsen. So I got to work with him, which was cool. And it was interesting because I was supposed to just do work one day. And then they're like, we would like to beef up your character. Let's do a few more days. I'm like, great. How often does that happen, right? And I just went back for reshoots and they added more scenes. So I'm super excited for this to come out. I don't know when it's going to come out, but it will be Lifetime and Netflix. We did two versions because Lifetime's you can't say the F word.
Oh, great. Well, we only got the Netflix here in Australia, so we're going to get the real deal.
Yeah.
You were bringing up, you brought up Danielle Harris before. You worked with her on Fear Clinic. Can you tell us a little bit like what that was like?
It was just this fabulous concept. We're still scratching our heads like, why didn't this like take off? But it was, Robert Englund, Danielle Harris, Kane Hodder, and myself in this project, right? That seems like a pretty good equation, And the concept is so great. And we shot in the creepiest, spookiest deserted hospital in downtown Los Angeles where productions had filmed there and they left things, but like really creepy things, like an incubator with a bloody doll in it. It was really, really fun. We had a great time doing it. The costume design was great. The directing was great. And then it was something I don't even remember now, but it was... things just sometimes fall through the cracks, they just do. So we had a great time. Yeah. Kane Hodder, I've actually worked with three times. Fear Clinic, Watchers 4, the Mark Hamill, we did a little pilot together, a show that was gonna be about dreams and nightmares and that kind of thing. I hosted, Kane hosted, anyway, some really great posts, but, again, you just never know. And they shot
so with the and we're like, the influx of like all these really high quality like fan stuff now, because you know, with Patreons and Kickstarters and everything, they're doing this really high end stuff, because we know they were doing it the Power Rangers, because we had the Power Ranger girls on. Would you ever consider doing that, like being Alice again in a like a high end fan project?
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. And in fact, just before COVID, Robert and I both received this very well, beautiful presentation and concept to kind of pick up from Nightmare 5. And
yes.
Talking to Wes Craven's estate, because Wes, the estate now has the rights to Nightmare on Elm Street. And we were just, literally, this was like a week before, you know, March, middle of March hit. So,
yep.
But I anticipate that... You're going to be seeing something.
There's been reports that the guy from The Hobbit there, Elijah Woods?
Elijah Woods.
Yeah. Like putting in a treatment. And then I saw Robert was at some convention or whatever, and he was talking about how he wanted to do one more, and he thinks he should pass the torch, and that he thought Kevin Bacon would be a great the next Freddy, because the remake was just... I'll just be the one.
I hear you. And okay, why is the actor played Robert escaping me? He's amazing.
Haley,
the heat has affected my brain. What the heck is
it? It's like almost 100 degrees still here, so I'm with you.
We have to look this up on your... Can you look it up in your phone? This is so embarrassing.
Yeah, it'll happen.
You just crushed
okay, Steve's all over it.
It's really embarrassing. Because he's a brilliant actor. Absolutely brilliant. And, you know, I think he did everything he possibly could. It's just that we just can't lose the... we can't forget the physicality that Robert Englund has brought to...
No, and I think... And when they...
Right?
It's and just, the recast of the teens wasn't right either. Like, you know, they just didn't sit like the original.
Jackie Earl Haley.
Jackie. Oh, my God. I met his brother, actually. He came to my table to get an autograph, and he introduced himself. And I'm like, you're his brother? I said, okay, can I write a picture to him? I'm going to sign an autograph to him. Give it to him.
He's hot.
Anyway, it's a tough gig. I mean, it's just a tough
gig. Yeah, to take over a role like that from Robert, like, it's not like Jason. It's not like Michael Myers. Like, I think it was just too soon, and people weren't done.
Yeah.
With the Robert, you know? I thought...
Yeah. And his physicality, he is like sort of a sexy monster. The way he moves.
Yeah.
The way he moves his hands. He's seductive, you know? Hideous looking, but seductive. There's just something about him.
Like you almost want to be knifed by him, don't you?
Honey, like he could come over and haunt my dreams a few nights. All right, it's better than hell.
I'll come rip through my mattress any night.
Look, I'm sure Luke didn't tell you. We're all a very naughty show, like so. We're all been trying to be on our best behavior, but I can't hold it in no more because he's just hot. All right, like I've been divorced for a few years. Like, honey, he can come over, knife me anytime.
Just buy me a plane ticket. I'm easy.
Don't tell me that. Listen, because I'll get you a plane ticket. We'll be setting up a whole convention.
She's got it all down pat. She can be the sweetest or the naughtiest you'd ever wanted to be.
I love it. Bring it on.
So you also seem to play these nice... I don't know. I think it's from Alice. You must get these nice girl roles a lot. I noticed that you've played a nurse a few times as well, which is back from your family. Like, your family has a history of nurses. In The Quiet Room, you played, like, the nicest character in that short film.
I'm so happy you're bringing up The Quiet Room.
It was brilliant. It was so good.
Oh, it was such... what a beautiful script, what an interesting concept, and
yeah,
bringing in, you know, straight, gay, whatever, you know what I mean? And horror all in one, you know?
Yes!
He had the Drag Race girls, didn't you?
Sam Wyman is just a dear director. He's done well with the film, and I hope to work with him again.
So. I feel like that deserves a bigger adaptation. And especially your character, I was like, she's gone. She's gone. She's dead. Spoiler. But do you feel a bit gypped you didn't get an on-screen death from Alaska? I mean, she did well as a monster. I feel like you would have done a great scene with her.
Wait, what are we talking about now? The Quiet Room?
Quiet Room. You didn't get an on-screen death.
Yeah, I'm thrilled to have a death scene. Are you kidding? I'm like, yeah, let's die. This is awesome. Yeah. And the Kathy Bates thing I did. That's the only, let me think. No. And then Utah, Star Trek. So I have been
true.
Murdered. Deservedly so.
Didn't they have alternate endings on the nightmares where like he came out at the end and like stabbed you? Wasn't there an alternate ending on one of them with the fountain? Am I making this up in my head?
I never saw that script. I mean, it's possible, but
I can be making it up. Maybe it was just a shadow.
Always, at least from when I got on board. Which was
right, but you lived, but just it was like one of those like alternate, like playful endings where it's like you don't know if you're dreaming or awake. I thought maybe I'm nuts. I could be nuts, girl. Don't trust me.
I never saw a script like that. Yeah.
Actually, speaking of like people dying in nightmares, we really should talk about how gross it was because Angel, you and I watched it like sort of together, and she's like. She's like, oh, shit, this meatball scene. She said, I don't think I can do it, Luke. She said, uh-oh. She said, he's going to eat it. He's eating it. And I'm just like, ugh. Because I was more done by the roaches.
Snacking. I was the most snacking. And I didn't remember that scene. And I remember watching the movies when I was younger. But
wait,
I'm like,
which scene, honey?
The meatball. Like, when he stabs the meatball face. And I was just like, when I was younger, I didn't mind things like that. But today I was like, oh, God, no. I'm like, I can't do this. And then, it was not great. I was like,
here's something kind of amusing. Because I'm doing commercials again, that kind of thing. And I did a Little Caesars commercial. Little Caesars.
Girl, and those pay good. Don't knock it.
And one of the Little Caesars ad people, corporate, whatever, she came up and said, I just want you to know that I just really loved you was Alice Johnson in Nightmare on Elm Street and stuff. So I'm like, oh, that's why I got the role. Cool. You know, of course, then it didn't air because chose a different one or whatever. But I keep thinking I need to get on that and say, of course, here it is, another year gone by, you know, and go, wouldn't that be fun to do a whole Nightmare on Elm Street commercial thing with Little Caesars and Robert and Alice and
reenact? Well, I'm surprised it didn't happen in the 80s.
Meatball on the pizza? I absolutely support this idea. Your face on it.
Well, I'm surprised it hasn't been done. Yes. Yes.
The meatballs. The cockroach scene.
Especially in that window between... Nightmare 4 and Nightmare 5, where Freddy was everywhere. You would have thought, you know, someone would have jumped on and did like a little soul food pizza. Right? But,
oh my God,
here
it is.
Oh, you got it.
Well, I tell you that scene is still very well known. In fact, I signed for, it's called Bambox, and it's like a mystery. This is such a cool concept. You sign up and you get a mystery box once a month. And it will kind of describe the theme and this and that, but you don't know exactly what's going to be in your mystery box. So I signed, like, I don't know, 1,200 little mini pizza boxes.
Oh, amazing.
How cool is that? I want one.
It was really cool. And then Tuesday night, who played Kristen, she did one, and she signed sunglasses. Because of the Ray-Ban scene on the beach.
Super.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yes.
I'm doing a plug for Bambox. I don't mean to, but I am. But I just love that idea. Like, I need to sign up. I want a mystery box.
Right. That's super cool.
I feel like the fourth one, and I know it's been said, like, was really the MTV Freddie. Like when we were, Luke first talked about that he messaged you. It's actually the first one that I saw. I was terrified of Freddie.
Yeah.
Terrified. Like we do Sunday dinners at grandma's and she'd make pizza and the adults were all in the living room. They had to shut the door because they were watching the third one. So then by the time the fourth one came around, I was ready. Okay. So I was not a Nancy person. I didn't care about no Kristen. I was team.
Yeah.
And I feel like the one that's really, I feel like MTV and it just was always on.
Oh yeah,
exactly the same.
Totally in the music, which you still hear all the music on the radio today.
Yeah, because they had like Pinball Wizard in it, didn't they?
To it as the MTV of this year, which to me is not a bad thing. I mean, didn't we love MTV when it first came out?
Yes,
doing the music videos. Oh my gosh! So I feel like it was such perfect timing. And I think too, I just keep picturing him putting Ray-Bans on the beach. Well, how often do you see a monster, first of all, in broad daylight?
Yes.
Right? I mean, it just like pushed the limit, but in a, such a fun way.
Well, I think they did it well, like with the camp and the horror. They were able to really gel it in a way that, like, you know, it didn't go too far either way. Like, it was just a fun ride from start to finish. Like, you really enjoyed it. And the whole Karate Kid stuff, too. Like, you know, when suddenly Alice has got the nunchucks, and I'm like, oh yeah, they're going there too.
Girl, wait, can we talk about the nunchucks? Why, like, do you had a stunt double for the nunchuck scene, right?
Yes.
The wig was terrible. Can we just talk about that? Did you not look at that lady or man and say, yo, fix this wig. It looks nothing like my hair.
Yeah.
Well, I think the problem was the wig.
That's it. Now, you have to understand.
It could be the gay in me. I was a virgin platinum blonde when I got the role, which is also why they wouldn't audition me, because back then, my 8x10, I was like Miss Barbizon cheerleader look. Oh, and the black, you know, the makeup and all that. Barbizon. Did not look like Alice, you know. And I did finally get to audition. But anyway, got the role, and then they asked if I would dye my hair that reddish brown. And it kind of freaked me out. And I said, okay, can we do a rinse? Well, as it turned out, because we did about 10 weeks of filming, it was at least 8 weeks. Well, imagine white hair and throwing red stuff on it day after day after day, right? Stained my hair. So I should have just freaking dyed it. Anyway, another story.
The things you do for movies. No, the wig was just...
So my point is, they didn't know. So I think I had already purchased the wigs, and they didn't know exactly what color my hair was going to end up being with the rinse and this and that. So it didn't quite match.
It's brown. That wig was brown. Your hair's red. It's like, okay.
It wasn't so much the color. The wig looked ratty. You could tell.
Yeah.
It was thirsty. That wig was thirsty.
Hold on. Sorry. I got my phone battery's going. Let me just plug this in here. Okay, there we go.
You know, that wig was thirsty, girl. It needed a conditioner.
The game. Yeah.
But we was
oh
me.
My gosh.
And you can see, I can still whip those things around, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And they sent us to karate school, so I, you know, wouldn't, like, hit my noggin and, you know, have a concussion or something. Mm-hmm.
Dude, those things are no joke.
They are a deadly
no joke.
Weapon, by the way. Yeah. They're illegal in 4 states, including California, of course.
But you know, Alice actually really kicked Freddie's ass. I think out of all the girls, like Nancy obviously gave him a good run for his money.
She died. I love that.
She died. But you know, Alice beat his ass. He really didn't hurt you at all. He couldn't do anything to you. So it was like you were kind of, that's what I was going back to before, you were the Ripley of A Nightmare on Elm Street. In a way, like you were just down to business then. You were like, nah, you're gone.
And I had all my friends' powers and their confidence, you know, which is something when I read the script, I was like, oh my God, this is an actor's dream, because you want a character that has an arc, you know? to go from.
Yeah. Well, that's why I thought it was so well done too, because you were so timid at first. You were such a timid girl, and your dad's an alcoholic, and you know your mum's passed away. Like it was done in a way like it just felt authentic. And then I liked that in Nightmare 5. You know, your dad had recovered. He was going to meetings. He was a good guy. Like, he wasn't a bad guy. He just had problems with whatever the backstory was there with your mum passing away. And then obviously his son. Like, I just thought it was really nice that they layered Alice in a way that she was a real character. She wasn't just, you know, the final girl that runs around and then that's it.
She was, like, relatable, you know, and you could, like, relate to her circumstances. And I think that's one thing I really miss about the conventions is hearing everyone's story about how this film helps them through terrible crises, you know?
Okay, girl, come on. I'm going to ask you the question. I probably shouldn't, but what's the craziest convention story you have? Oh, there has to be like one fan.
Really the fans then. That's good.
Like, okay, or like...
Wait. She had one person. So what happened actually, Lisa, when you were doing Nightmare 4, when you come home and you were mugged, what was that?
That's because the story. Yeah. Conventions have always been fine, but literally it was like I was getting home at like 1:30 in the morning and pulling into my garage. And my husband and I, we lived in Hancock Park at the time, which is like sort of his... really cool historic area of Los Angeles, pulling in, and I have my driving glasses on, my script bag, my purse, I'm exhausted, and I'm literally just walking to the back door of this our beautiful place, apartment, cool, and I literally am looking, I'm just down, and I look, and I see white tennis shoes about the size of my head, and I go up, and there's a stranger at the corner of the building where my back door is. Huge man. He literally, his hand covers my face.
Oh my God.
My eyeglass lenses were popped out, actually. But anyway, my instinct, of course, was to scream, okay? And also to cover my heart, right? Because I didn't know if I had a weapon or anything. Started screaming my guts out. But his hand is like over, you know. So the neighbor upstairs heard and pulled open the door. What's going on down there? Anyway, the guy, like, he throws me on the ground. I'm like, oh, my God, I'm going to be raped. Oh, my God. You know what I mean? And I landed on my purse and my script bag. He pulled the thing and went running, right? Now, at this point, my husband's coming out with a butcher knife. He also heard the noise, and anyway, police came and they separated us because they always think, oh, it's some kind of marital dispute, whatever. But anyway, so that is my nightmare story.
You need to absorb your brother's powers, Bubs. You didn't absorb your brother's powers by that point. You could have just beat his ass.
I know, right? And the sad thing is, he stole my script bag and my camera.
Oh, shit. But what happened? Was that like, did the script ever get leaked, or he just obviously just threw it away? It was back in the day when, like, you know.
Who knows, but the script that I did all these meticulous notes in, and of course the camera, and I got more pictures, but all the pictures I took from probably the first half of filming, gone. So I don't have that many original photographs anymore. But
some asshole has that somewhere and they're saving it to put it on eBay. You know that, right?
Yeah, but my head notes, because of course when you film, you don't film in order, right?
Right.
So I was determined. This was the big. This was the tough part as an actor, is to make it believable of this character not going from here to there all of a sudden, but for it to subtly develop, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Literally for each scene, I would write who had died by then. Okay. So we're filming scene 2 in the morning, and then we're filming scene 52 in the afternoon. I could have a gradient, you know, a you know, a level of what, where Alice was at any given time. Anyway.
Yeah.
I'd have been. He got pissed. That script.
Some great kids are going to find that script in an attic in a box someday.
Mm-hmm. With that roll of film.
Hopefully they'll know what they have, because who knew after all these years, right?
Right.
Anyway.
That roll of film? Holy shit. Okay, Miss Girl, right. I got to ask you, right?
Kodak. Because
I mentioned that you were on Big Shots. Did you hang out with Dylan? Did you get to kiss him a little bit?
I wish. I wish. So I was the waxer, right? And they made me kind of look very Swedish, very light makeup and all that.
Oh my! I remember the episode!
The
yes! Oh!
It was so much fun! And then the Writers Guild strike happened, and that cast was freaking amazing, right, guys?
Yes!
I cannot believe that that did not. And I think that was a...
Was it on ABC?
Who was the producer? I think that was who did Chicago Hope and Married to Michelle Pfeiffer. Anyway.
David.
David E. Kelly.
Yeah, Kelly. It was kind of like...
David E. Kelly, too.
It was like one of... I think so, because it was like the big comeback show kind of...
Yes.
Thing, and like Dylan coming back and the rest of the cat, like,
yeah. I know.
It's so funny now. I'm going to make James watch this later. Okay. I'm going to find that episode because I can see it in my head. Oh, I can't wait.
No, I was like, this is cool. And of course, in my head, I'm like, well, I could be a recurring character. I'm the waxer that all the guys have to come to get their waxing done, and then I'll have an affair with one of them, and blah, blah, blah. That was just so disappointing. Anyway,
you really get all the hot men. You get all the hot men. I would have waxed them. I'd have pretended to wax them, but it'd have been fine.
Gosh.
Do you consider Will Ferrell hot? I think he's the cutest, hottest nerd in the world.
In like that slapsticky, like, yeah.
In that goofy kind of way.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh my god, yeah. Girl.
Ah! Is that a clip? Or a still?
It was a still.
Oh my god. Oh my god. You know, he and I went to the same high school in Irvine.
Yeah.
We did. We had the same drama teacher. He was a few years younger than I was, but when we were on set, we were chatting and, you know, whatever. And I'm like, no way. University of Irvine, go. You know. Anyway, that's sweetheart. And it was so cool.
Now, Lisa.
Just before he really, like, he was known on Saturday Night Live, and that movie was just one of his first films, you know? So that was pretty cool.
We just showed your Insta then. Now, you have a hashtag on there, Alice Lives. Are you able to explain that at all? Is there any hidden meaning there? Or
well,
I think she already dropped that bomb.
Yeah, we need
more. Yeah, but I want to get back into it.
Okay, so.
I'm trying to dig that information.
So I do 4 and 5, and then all of a sudden, after 5, Alice has never heard from Jacob, and they go off on a whole other tangent, right? And I was just like,
a bad tangent.
Gosh.
Because you were considered for Freddy vs. Jason, too, weren't you? Was there scripts that where you were involved in that?
Yeah, but they used a clip from Nightmare 4. I never actually filmed. Yeah, but technically I'm in it, but I really felt bummed out. Like, wow, they just abandoned Alice and Jacob, and I never even got some fabulous death scene, like turning into a cockroach or something, right? I was really bummed about it. But then one day, like a light bulb just went off in my head, and I went, Lisa, you're a heroine. Alice Lives. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of created that motto, I guess you could say. And I had, and I, yes, I did some merch with t-shirts and Alice Lives, you know. And to me, it's kind of about Alice is all of us. We've lived through some shit, right?
Amen.
And we lived through it, right? And we're still standing. So that's kind of where that came about.
I just that mantra, you know, of everybody's been through shit and the COVID video you did, I think you're amazing.
Oh, bless your heart.
But... Oh, she did not just do the bless your heart to me.
Bless your heart.
Let's, just because I'm in thank Missouri
you.
Right now.
No, thank you. That means very good. That means a lot to me.
And Lisa, it's been
a lot to me that just to have had any impact, you know, on some of people's lives, you know, that's pretty freaking amazing. So thank you. I'm going to cry.
And you know, and you've been a lot of fun, Lisa. This has been fun. Like I wasn't sure what was going to happen with all that technical difficulties. I was like, uh-oh, I should have probably given better instructions before. That's why, like, Jeffrey's like, Luke, you ain't handling the guests ever again. I'm like, okay, I'm sorry.
Well, thank you for all of you out there who were patient. But yes, email, that was the way to go. And now I know how to use StreamYard.com.
So, oh, you plug in StreamYard, go. Zoom,
you know, and Skype, of course, that's old time now.
Yeah. Well, you did the Zoom show the other day. You did the watch party with Nightmare as well. And that's cool. You're still able to engage your fans, you know, during COVID. And it's...
I'm really, you know, like I said, I miss seeing everybody and I miss interaction with the fans and I miss just the whole experience, you know? So, it was quite a task actually to kind of get it all organized and stuff, but it was well worth it. And I'm going to do Nightmare 5 next month, probably with Danny. And I'm going to see Kelly Jo Minter. I love her, and she's done so many other amazing things. So it'll be a smaller group because I'm honestly not in touch with the other cast members of 5, and also just my experience of such a big group was a lot of more than I anticipated. Not that anyone was difficult or anything. It's just a lot more.
It's hard.
And you know.
Putting this stuff together every week, it's not easy. So right. I give you credit to do it. And reunite a movie cast.
You totally get it. Yeah. But you know, I'm not afraid to do it. And then of course I get called to do these reshoots and added scenes last week, and the watch along was Friday night, and I couldn't deal with things going on. It was a bit of a, you know, producer's headache, as you say. It's all right. It all worked out great, and everyone's happy. And some folks are going to get some awesome raffle prizes with all of us signing it and stuff like that. So,
well, I'm saying, let's get you to some drive-ins in October. Let's set this up. I'm telling you, I'm so excited.
Let's definitely set it up. I am so ready to do it. So ready.
It would
Let's
be all right.
Let's produce it.
Okay? Yeah, I'm, honey, get my number from Luke. I'm telling you, this is what we do. Jack of all trades, master of none. That's
cool. Lisa, thank you so much for joining us tonight. It's been a blast. You've been just
I
one
had
of
so
the
much
most
fun. Anytime, you know, let's. I'm still scheduled to do a movie with Debbie Rashawn. Of course, it's been pushed, but we might be doing it. But, you know, as projects come up, let's definitely stay in touch. I'd love to come on the show again. You guys are a hoot.
Oh, we would love you back.
Thank you.
We would love to have you. Let's do a Scream Queen special. You know? We can. It'll be amazing.
Oh, yeah, totally. I'm game.
All right. Well, Freddie, do you want to send Lisa off, Freddie? Give her a bon voyage.
No, we'll see. Luke actually made me do the voiceover for the promo reel. He's like, Freddy Krueger, now, go. I'm like, oh, okay. Let's dreams, Alice. It's like, that's it.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining us, Lisa. You've been amazing.
Thank you so much, and see you again soon, okay?
Definitely.
And thank you for supporting Stop the Nightmare 2020.
Yes.
And please, you know, reach out to me on Instagram at Lisa Wilcox. I think it's just at the Lisa Wilcox. That's what it is. Facebook or whatever. And
there we go.
I have a website.
He's got it there.
I can still get autographs. Been doing a lot of those and on Cameo because there's no convention. So.
Oh, we've got
to do it where you can, girl. There's all your socials there. Excellent. And yeah, Lisa, like we'll tag some stuff as well on our page. And yeah, once again, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you, guys. Such a pleasure.
No worries. Good
Thank
night.
You.
Thank you.
Have a great dreams. Night. We'll see you all Thursday.
Bye, guys. Are we rolling it up? Okay, now I have to find my clicker.
Oh, then James will run a credit. Run that credit.